Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Good afternoon, brethren. Happy Sabbath to all of you. And happy Sabbath to those who are tuned in the cybercast. Jesus said, blessed are they, are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. You find that in Matthew 5, verse 4. We are about to observe the most sacred and solemn occasion in God, that of God's commandment assemblies, the Passover. It is a time to mourn the death of he who died for our iniquities, our sins that kept us from having a relationship with God the Father. Earlier last year, my younger brother passed away, and it distresses me when I think of him because I miss him a lot. He was 13 years younger than I, and he gave up his law firm to create a studio with me, and I couldn't have done it by myself. I know that in this congregation, we have a number of brethren that are mourning the passing of a loved one lately. But you know, it is normal for us to be downhearted because of the love that we have for them, and we wish that they could be here with us right now. Nevertheless, when I try to get some comfort that would ease the pain that we are going through, I look upon God's word for answers. And I found a rather strange passage in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 2. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 2, it reads, it is better to go to the house of mourning than the house of feasting. Wow. Isn't that strange? I mean, would you rather be with your friends having a great time and dinner? You would think that laughter is better than sorrow. Don't you agree? But when you start thinking about it, when you are in the place of feasting, there is laughter, there's drinking and enjoying a nice meal with your friends or family. But in the end, what has been accomplished besides a full tummy and a few laughs? In contrast with the house of mourning, something extraordinary and comforting happens. Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. You know, those are pretty strong words when someone is grieving the remembrance of a loved one. My son-in-law also passed away last year, and he was a young man in the early 50s, 52. Yes, it is the time to cry like never before. It is the time to grieve. Believe me, I cried until I ran out of tears. It's okay to cry. God also saddens when one of his saints dies. But as incredible as it seems, something overwhelming, extraordinary happens in the house of mourning. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted, Jesus said. But how? How are we comforted? You know, when you are in the house of mourning, comes the time to realize what life is all about. It is the time to realize that there is hope, the hope in all of us who trust and love God who made us. A time to realize for those who have not repented that they could be missing out on the greatest promise that God is offering us, which is eternal life. He did not give us an immortal physical body. It is fragile, and it could wear out. Accidents can happen, and life can be short. Like my younger brother and my son-in-law. God knows what he's doing, and this is not the end, but a new beginning. And we can be comforted when we truly realize that the hope in us is a new spiritual life, eternal in God's kingdom. Another thing that happens when we are in the house of mourning, Many times, reconciliation among friends and family members takes place. I've seen it happen. It is our reluctance to forgive one another, but death has the power to seek forgiveness and repentance. There are many times when siblings or close friends have not been in contact with one another due to some unsettled circumstances that separated them, and it takes the death of a beloved person that brings them back together again. Every human being is very critical to God. All belong to Him, and His wish is that we could all be saved. But there is a problem. A problem is that sin has separated us from God. In our sins, the death of Jesus Christ reconciled us with God the Father. There are two kinds of sorrow: godly sorrow and worldly sorrow. For the kind of sorrow God wants us to experience leads us away from sin, and its result is salvation. There is no regret for that kind of sorrow. But worldly sorrow, which lacks repentance, results in spiritual death. You can find that in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. I read it from the New Living Translation. Okay, learn a lesson from the butterfly. At first, it's not an attractive worm roaming on the ground slowly. And then it goes to sleep, transforming into a colorful, beautiful butterfly. And it's not restricted to roam on the ground anymore, but it's able to fly wherever it wants. The God who made that butterfly made you and me. Now, here's an oxymoron. You have to die before you can live. Wow. But he said, really? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to read in verse 36 and 38. 1 Corinthians 15. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And what you sow is not the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or something else. But God gives it a body as He has designed, and to each kind of seed, He gives its own body. Excuse me. Ah, there we go. Jesus had to die so that we could all live. In John 12, verse 23, I'll read that to you. But Jesus replied, "The hour has come, and the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I'll tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a seed. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." There you have it. Jesus set us an example with His death. What can happen to all who believe in Him? You know, like the worm and the butterfly. What kind of body did Jesus resurrect it into? You know, Mary Magdalene and His disciples did not recognize Him after He resurrected, because He had a different body. They could see Him. Mary wanted to touch Him. And if you remember, Jesus said to her, "Touch me not, for I have not ascended to the Father." Later, Jesus asked Thomas to touch Him. Also, He could walk right through walls. And many saw Jesus ascend to heaven and no longer walking on the ground. But like the butterfly, He could ascend to the clouds into heaven. Brethren, to have a new spiritual body, we need to be resurrected, born again into a new body. I am sure that all of us have grieved or are grieving one time. But isn't it comforting to know what Jesus is promising us? to those who trust and love him? Are you comforted? I know I am. Passover Day will be here soon, and it is the time to get ready to partake the most solemn and sacred assembly. Passover, for those who are new and they've never kept the Passover before, Passover is the observance, the memorial of our Lord Jesus Christ, who reconciled us to the Father through his death. And it will be a solemn, sacred observance. It will be a house of mourning, not a house of feasting. Grief is the final act of love that we can express to those who affected our hearts deeply. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted.